I said good morning loud and clear to you. Good morning, everybody. This is a lovely time of the year. I love to see the jacaranda trees. Who likes a nice jacaranda trees around there? And the Australian Christmas trees. Have you noticed they've started to come out now and blossom, the orange ones? Did you know that we call them the Australian Christmas trees? Did you know that? Yeah, they start, and whenever it gets to the month of November, they start to come out, and it reminds me Christmas is here. And I don't know what the correct name is for those orange trees that we call our Christmas trees, but I've got a friend in our church that works for the Agricultural Board, and he's a tree specialist, and he was telling me this week their proper name. I couldn't even begin to pronounce it to you. But how many of you know that those Australian Christmas trees are parasites? Did you know that they actually live off other plants and trees? Their roots go down and they get their sustenance off other living things. Isn't that amazing? You look at the beauty and the splendor of them, but they are parasites. And when he was talking to me about this and he was saying they're parasites, I said, yes, I know that there are parasites. I said, so am I. I'm a parasite. Do you know why I'm a parasite? Because I'm a Christian. Do you know where my strength comes from? Do you know where my life comes from? Him. I partake from Him. So I'm just like that. And the wonderful thing is that beautiful, glorious tree of the lovely colors that it has, the orangey colors, beautiful, taking its life from others. Well, we should be beautiful like that, taking our life from God. Can you say amen? Amen. Not loud enough. Can you say amen? Amen? Yes. I almost chose that scripture that you read this morning to preach on. I've got three scriptures. I almost chose that. I thought, oh, that was, would have been too many. So I'm really glad that you... And what you said is really in line with what I feel the Lord wants me to say to you guys this morning. So I'm going to read from a beautiful psalm, which is Psalm 103. And it's a psalm of David. And I'm just going to read the first five verses. And he says, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. They're interesting verses. This is a psalm or a song that David wrote. These first five verses of this very long psalm, do you know who he's speaking to? Himself. How many people here find themselves speaking to themselves? Anybody? Not many of you. I do quite regularly. I'm trotting along there. I'm chatting along to myself. And somebody said to me, it's all right to speak to yourself so long as you don't answer yourself. But David, this great psalmist, is speaking to himself. And listen what he's saying. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost beings, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget his benefits. He's talking to himself. Out loud, he's actually saying, soul, remember what God's done for you. Praise him. Thank him for his benefits. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Speaking to himself. I like it. I like it. Did you hear that? We need to do that more often. Obviously, some of you do. You need to speak to yourself and praise God. Tell your soul to praise the Lord. Tell your soul to remind yourself what He has done for you. Our brother said this morning, sometimes we don't feel like praising God. Sometimes we have to break through in praise. And how sad that is. Come on. How sad that is. It should be the most natural thing for a Christian to praise the Lord. But sometimes we have to break through in praise. But do you know when you break through in praise, you break through your circumstances? It isn't just about praising God. You haven't come to church this morning and think, see if I can break through. I don't feel like praising God and don't feel like clapping or lifting my hand, but I'll see if I can break through. And for half an hour you sing, and for half an hour you seem to break through in praise, and then you go out there just as miserable as you came in. No, it should not be like that. Amen? And it shouldn't be, well, next week I'll try it again. No, we should be praying. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you should be what? Praising God. First thing on your lips. First thing on your mind to start praising God. Because there's something. David got hold of this secret. David was a great fighting man. But he was a fighter because a man knew how to praise God. Way before he became a fighting man, he was looking after the sheep for his father on the hills of Bethlehem. He used to play the harp. He was instrumental. He was musical. He would lie on his back, look at the stars in the sky at night, and he would think of God's greatness and power. And he kept reminding himself how great God is, how good God is. His. Our God comes to our aid over and over again. He kept reminding himself and he wrote songs. Most of the Psalms, which are songs, were written by him. Most of them. And I wonder how many more he wrote that he actually didn't put to pen and paper that we don't know today. But he kept on singing the glories of God. All of his Psalms are giving praise and glory and honor to God. And he's saying here, oh my soul, come on. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on. Come on, my soul. Don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his goodness. Don't forget he heals all of your sicknesses. I'm waiting for an amen. Amen. Don't forget he's forgiven all your sins. And you may say, well, I've said that years ago. I thank God when I became a Christian, he forgave me and I thanked him for it. Well, are you thanking him today? Because let me tell you, since you became a Christian, you've still sinned. Come on. Wouldn't surprise me if you haven't sinned this week as well. So we got, and if we've sinned this week, guess what? He's forgiven us through Jesus. We've remembered the communion this morning, which tells us, do this in remembrance of me. We remember that every day he forgives us. Every day his blood was shed for us. So we should be praising him and reminding ourselves that today we are forgiven. Hallelujah. Taking some winding up here, aren't you? Serious. I'm serious. One of the biggest, I travel a lot preaching. I've been preaching now for, 65 years. That's a long time, isn't it? I've preached in over 30 different countries. I've preached to crowds of thousands. And I've preached to where there's just two or three. It doesn't matter the numbers to me. It makes no difference. But what I've noticed over all the years is that Christians do what the Bible told us not to do. The Bible says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. J.B. Phillips, in his translation, says, and I love this, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. But Christians do. I've noticed it. I've noticed people can be on fire for God 1 month, and the next month, they're really feeling, what's all this about? So sad. You see, there are many voices out there that want a piece of your mind. They want a piece of mind. Many voices. Many politics. Much philosophy. This world wants a piece of you. And the more advancing technology we get, the more social media there is, and there are more opinions to be made. I've watched with quite interest the American elections, Trump getting voted in. I've watched with interest, and I've watched and I've looked at different views, whether they be Democrats or Republicans or independents, and all the different arguments and all the different lies that have come out. Can I just say this? Lies on both sides. Come on. And as I'm looking at them, I'm thinking it's so easy to absorb those lies. It's so easy for this world to squeeze me into its own mold. And the politics in our country, not any better. And politics in England, not any better. But the American politics are more exciting. Do you know what I'm saying? I've really got into it, and I've got a bit mad sometimes, and I've got a bit happy sometimes. But I never seem to get that way when I look at Australian politics. I find Australian politics boring. Do you, or is it just me? I find English politics boring, but American politics, wow, they're different altogether. They do all sorts of things, but they want a piece of your mind. Social media wants a piece of you. And all these people that are coming on, girls, boys, men, women, on the social media with all these little podcasts. I don't know how many, does anybody know how many podcasts there are? Do you know how many? Millions. That means there's millions of different views that people want a little bit of your mind. This world wants to squeeze you into its mold. This world wants you to think like it thinks. This world wants you and me to behave like it behaves. The world wants to squeeze us into its mold, but the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be changed by the renewing of your mind. I want to stay changed. I became a Christian when I was 15. 15, I knew nothing. I remember once somebody saying to me, he was a union leader with a place where I worked. He said, oh, John, he said, when you're young, you know, people either get into politics or religion, and you soon find out none of it's worthwhile and you leave it. And I said, what, did you used to go to church? He says, yes, I used to be a Methodist, but I turned my back on it, pointless. And he says, you'll grow out of it, John. You'll grow out of it. Don't worry. You will grow out of it. Well, that was 67 years ago. I've not grown out of it yet. Can you say praise God? I've not. Because I keep reminding myself of what God promises and what this world promises. I keep reminding myself that what I've come into is something of eternal value. And because I was a young man uneducated, and when this union leader said to me, you know, there's a lot, John, you don't know, and he started to tell me things, and I'd go away and study them. And on one occasion, our little church that we used to go to back in England, on a Sunday night before the meeting, we used to have Sunday night meetings, but before they started, a few of us, young people, used to stand outside and give leaflets to people to come in. We used to try and get them to come into church. And one day, this guy was coming along, and he was Indian. And we stopped him and chatted with him, and he was obviously very educated and come from a very well-to-do family. And I come from Nottingham, and was in Nottingham, and he was studying at the Nottingham University, come over from India to study. Highly educated person. And his father, he said, was highly educated, and he had a library of books. He said, I've read them all. He said, I've read all the religions of the world. And I started to talk to him about the Lord. I said, come on in. He said, what? No. He said, I've outgrown all that, young man. It means nothing to me. So I started to tell him about the love of Jesus, started to talk to him. Then he said to me, he came out with some big words that I've never heard before, and he was sort of talking about them, and this is the view of life that he was taking. And I'm listening to him, and he seems to be knocking down all our arguments. I told him about the love of Jesus, the death of Jesus on the cross, how he forgives us for our sins, and now that we're all sinners, and if we don't get saved, we're going to go to a lost eternity, and religion can't save you. And politics can't save you. Or telling them this, the only thing that can save you is a man, and his name is Jesus. Because Buddha can't save you. Hindu gods can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Just Jesus. So I was telling him this. I was only about, at that time, I'd be about 18 or 19 years of age. This guy was about 24, 25. But far more educated than me. And he talked about relativity and all these sort of things. And I didn't even know most of what he was talking about. So he was talking about ethics. And after we'd finished talking to him, when we really... We actually missed the meeting. I stayed there talking for over an hour out on the street there to this guy really wanting to win him. And there was another guy with me, and the meeting had started and finished by time. And then he went. He said goodbye, and we wished him all the best. And I said to him, we'll be praying for you. And he went. And I thought, I'm a real dum-dum. This guy knocked down all my arguments. He comes out with all these different points of view. And I'm thinking, I'm a dum-dum. I don't know enough. So the next day, I went to the second-hand bookshops and started to look for books on ethics and morals and things like this that he was talking about. So just to give me a little bit more education. Well, it would have been about 18 months later, my friend that was with me came to me at church. He says, John, I was in this church yesterday. That was a Saturday, a different church. He says, guess who I saw there? I said, I don't know. He says, do you remember that guy we spoke to about 18 months ago, the Indian man at university and very clever? I said, yeah, I remember him. He says, well, he was in church. He says, and he recognized me, and he came to me. And he says, he realized that all my arguments that I was bringing forward, he was knocking them down. He realized that he knew far more and more knowledge than I did. He said, but you guys spoke with such sincerity and compassion, and you showed me compassion. He said, I went away thinking, I've got to find out more about this. So he went to a church, a Pentecostal church, and he got born again. Come on, he got born again. Here's me looking at all these books because he said I didn't know enough, but I knew enough to lead him to the Lord. The world wants to squeeze us into its mold. Don't let it. Come on, don't let it. Learn to praise God, because there is a power in praise that this world knows nothing about. Now, when we come to praise God, of course, praising God is complimenting God. I realize that. But it's more than that. You know, if I come to you afterwards and I say, oh, I like the shirt you're wearing, that's nice, I'm complimenting you. Or, oh, I like your hairdo, that looks very nice. I'm complimenting you. And it's nice to be complimented. Has anybody been complimented today? Anybody here been complimented? Not one hand's gone up. How shocking is that? Not one hand. Nobody's complimented you. Well, I want to compliment you. Can I compliment you? You're lovely people. You're in the house of the Lord. You're good people. Sorry for going out of the view of that. Is that okay? You're good people because you're here. Amen. In spite of what this world, you're good people. I'm complimenting you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for singing the songs of worship. Thank you for hanging in there. That's complimenting. And we compliment God when we worship him. But let me just say this. Worshipping and praising God is more than complimenting him. There's a power in praise that people don't understand and do not realize. There is a power in praising God. Something happens to you. Okay, you have to get to a place to break through. Because there's times you don't want to praise him. I've had a difficult week. This week for me has been for me one of the worst weeks of my life, because my wife's memorial service was on Tuesday. She's passed away a couple of weeks ago with dementia, which was terrible. And we had a service for her. Her ashes was there. And I could not believe how many people came. The church was packed with people. Packed. People came from all over. And It's been a hard week for me, because I lost my darling wife of 64 years. I was married to her. Suddenly, she's gone. So I know what it is to sometimes have to break through. And the day after, it was a hard day, because I was looking in the past, all the photographs, and you start to think of how things used to be and how things have changed and all those sort of things coming. But I thought, Lord, I know she's with you. She's not suffering anymore with that dementia. The last couple of few days were terrible for her, terrible. But Lord, I know she's in your arms and she doesn't have dementia now. She's with you for eternity. So I had to sort of, in that circumstance, break through in praise. Do you know what I mean? I had to, come on, John, stop it. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. She's better off where she is than if you have to go visit her in that nursing home. So you go through all those things, and I started to praise God. I said, oh, thank you for her, Lord. My lovely, darling wife, she's with you. She's in glory with you, never to suffer again. So there was a breakthrough. And so I understand when we have to break through. There's times when we have to break through. Sometimes when you're sick in your body. And, you know, if you're in pain, and some of you might be in pain right now, physically, I mean. Well, sometimes it's hard to praise God. Sometimes to break through, it's hard to do that. Or some of you maybe have family problems, kids problems, work problems, money problems, all these things want to get hold of us, and the devil wants to use them to drag us down so that we're not in a position of praising him like we ought to. So there is the breakthrough to praise. That's why the writer in the Hebrews says, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Our lips. Didn't say the fruit of our mind. It's our lips. David was speaking to his soul, but he didn't speak to his soul like this. He was writing something down that he was singing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. He's speaking it out loud. There's a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. And church, can I say this? It's a rap on the knuckles for you, but I'm going to do it because I believe God wants me to. And if you never want me to come back again, that's up to you. But I'm going to say it. Sometimes your praise is a bit pathetic, I think. I'm not saying you're not going through problems and difficulties, but you come to church to praise him. If you bring your problems into church and you go all through a meeting without praising God and you take them all out with him, what was the point of coming to church? Just tell me that. No point in it at all. We need to come to church and praise him from our hearts, but with our mouths. Amen. We need to lift our hands in praise to the Lord. We need to do it. And you don't wait for the person next to you to do it. You do it. And if you're the only one, praise God, you're doing it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know, look at the way some of you are looking at me now. You don't like this, do you? But I'm saying, it's your fault, because you, when you said what you said, that was a confirmation to me that I was struggling with this, that I was to say it. There's a breakthrough in praise that we all need to experience. And let me just say this. It's not just a breakthrough when you come to church. It's a breakthrough when you open your eyes tomorrow morning, when you've got to get up for school, get up for work, get up for domestic jobs. That's when we need to break through. When we open our eyes in the morning, we say, thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for the beautiful day that this is going to be as I'm in your presence. I know I've got things to face. I know I've got circumstances and problems that are trying to drag me down. But Lord, I'm going to praise you right now and praise you through the day. And you actually say it. You may be on your own. You may be with your family. Say it. Start to praise him out loud. Actually, or sing. Sing a song to the Lord. Sing a beautiful song to him. Start to do it. Break through. Because when you break through, something breaks in the atmosphere around you. Literally, something breaks, and you have a wonderful sense of peace. Now, I've told you this probably two or three times before, but it just fits in with what I'm going to say now. I remember years ago when I was about to fly out of Melbourne. It was raining and it was thundering. I was on the plane, I looked out the window and I thought, whoa, this plane isn't going to take off in this. It's windy, raining, thundering. To my amazement, the plane started to taxi. To my absolute amazement, it took off. And as that plane took off, I mean, it was dark with clouds. It was daytime, but it was dark and cloudy. And this plane actually shook. It was shaken as it was taking off with the wind. And I thought, whoa, this is incredible. And what seemed just like a few seconds, the plane went up. Bang. And it went through the clouds and suddenly the sky was blue. I looked outside and there was a blue sky. We'd actually gone above the clouds. Hallelujah. We'd actually done that. The sky was blue. And I looked down and the clouds didn't look black anymore. They were fluffy white. And I had this experience. As I was there, I had this experience of God. I said, oh God, how wonderful that is. I wish I could break through all the clouds that come my way like that. Because I realized something. When I was on the ground in the plane, everything looked dark. Couldn't see the sun, couldn't see a blue sky. But when we broke through the clouds, the sky was still blue. The sun was still shining. And can I say this to you? The Son of God is always shining. It's there. When we break through the clouds, we come to a wonderful, wonderful place in Him. Now, just moving on quickly. You know, there's another scripture that I just love. And it's from Isaiah 40. And it says this. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth, of the ends of the earth. Listen to this. I like this. This is talking about God. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. I love that. No one can understand God. I've talked with people who think that they know God. People have said to me, oh, don't talk to me about God, there's no God. What a stupid, stupid, stupid thing to say. I have to say to these people, how can you say there's no God? You can say to me, you don't know whether there is a God or not. You could say that. But you can't say there's no God. Who do you think you are? To say there's no God, that's a stupid thing. But he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Listen to this. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And that scripture we read in the psalm says, you renew my strength like the eagle. That's what David says. You renew my strength like the eagle. So the eagle renews its strength. It says that these eagles are incredible and that we, as we hope in God and renew our strength, we will soar on the wings of eagles. Now, to me, I've always loved eagles. They're one of the most fascinating birds that there is. And I did a study on eagles once and I found some interesting thing about eagles. Because he's going to renew our strength like the eagles. The eagle has the ability to renew its strength. Let me say this. You have never seen an old eagle. Oh, probably you have, but you didn't know it was old. And eagles die from old age, but they're not looking decrepit like I am when they get old. When we get old, we look it, don't we? Come on, come on. I'm not upset you're all this much, ever that you. When we get old, we. Yeah. But the eagle seems to stay young when it's old. An interesting thing about an eagle, he's got incredible eyesight. An eagle can spot prey, say like a rabbit. It can spot a rabbit 5 kilometers away. Who knows, that's good, that's better than 20/20 vision. Come on. It takes me all the time to see that back wall there, let alone see a rabbit 5 kilometers away. That's what an eagle can do. It's got good eyesight. Well, we're going to have our strength renewed like the eagle, so we've got good eyesight, spiritual eyesight. Come on, we can see what others can't see. We know what others don't know because we see through God's word what is coming. Hallelujah, glory to God. I once was witnessing to a lady and she got really mad with me. I was in her house and witnessed to her and her husband. And she said to me, look, you can't possibly know if you're going to go to heaven, not till you die. And I said, oh, no. If you've got to wait till you die, it's too late. You've gone. You're not going to go to heaven. You go to the other place. And she got mad at me. She says, you what? She says, you told me you're going to heaven. I said, no doubt about it at all. She says, what? She says, you talking like you've got a one-way ticket to heaven. I said, I have. I have. Through the blood of Jesus. Come on. If you say to me, John, where are you going when you die? I'll say to you, heaven. I've got sight, spiritual sight in God's word that tells me, because I believe in him, he's given me the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can see what others can't see. I've had the eyes of my understanding enlightened. I can see as good as an eagle can see spiritually. Amen. I'll tell you something else. This world will not end with a nuclear power, with a nuclear war. It won't. Because you know why? God made it. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And when it's time for this world to end, he'll end it. Not Putin, not the Chinese, not the Americans. God. Come on. He's in charge. I know that this world is not going to go on forever. I know that. I know that God is going to come back and judge this world, judge those in the world who don't walk with him. I know that. I've got that insight from his word. My eyes can see what others can't see. People get mad with me sometimes when I'm telling them the simple. It's a simple gospel. Listen, I've led 6-year-old children to Jesus, and I've led 80-odd, 90-odd-year-old people to Jesus. Doesn't matter what age you are. When your eyes are opened, you see. Hallelujah. So eagles have got good eyesight. Do you know what else eagles have got? Good homes. They fly to a place right up in the crags, right up in the hills, right up in the mountains. And they start to build a home. And they use that nest every year. Eagles, when they partner for life. And they use the nest for years. Every year they build on it. Some eagles' nests have been found to weigh over a ton in weight. Come on. It keeps building on it and building on it and building on it. They know how to build a good home. Do you? Come on. Do you? Do I? I know how to build a good home in Jesus because I teach my kids and my grandkids the Word of God. I teach them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I've got a family that is strong because I keep pushing Jesus first. Amen. So I'm going to keep renewing my strength like the eagles. Got a good home. Got good spiritual eyesight. Not physical, but good spiritual eyesight. Do you know what else eagles can do in renewing their strength? They're quite incredible. When they start to get old and the feathers start to go and they get calcium build up on their beaks, they fly to a high place away from any predators and they actually pull out feathers that are no good. They actually discard them and they get their beaks and they rub them on the rocks and get the calcium off their beaks, and then they wait and grow new feathers. They may be old, but when they fly again, it's like their youth has been renewed. Eagles are incredible creatures. And God's saying, no matter how old we get, and you read it about when we get old, that scripture, beautiful scripture, we'll show fruit in old age. I like that scripture. Didn't used to mean much to me when I was in my 20s, but I'm now in my 80s. It means a lot to me now. Come on, do you know what I'm saying? I could still bear fruit in my old age because my youth is being renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. Another interesting thing about the eagle, most, not all, but most eagles die, when it comes to time for death, facing west. They face the rising sun, and they die facing the rising sun. Well, that's how we do, don't we? We've got the Son of God, who's risen with healing in his wings. When we die, we're dying facing him. Come on, we're not facing defeat. We're not facing bondage. We're not facing the devil. We're not facing our sin. We're facing Jesus. We're facing the rising sun, the Prince of Peace, because we're going to go with him, be with him forever. Amen. It's true. It's true. So God wants a people on earth that are a praising people. So if you felt told off this morning, good. Good. Take it. Take it. Don't get umpety with me. Don't say, well, I'm not going to listen to him anymore. He tells us off. No, don't get upset like that. Say, Lord, he's right. I should praise you more than what I do. Because why am I always looking for a breakthrough in praise? Why can't I breakthrough in praise and then see the breakthrough in my circumstances? Come on. The breakthrough in my circumstances, in my sickness, in my body, in my marriage, in, with my kids, with my finances, with whatever. I need a breakthrough. He gives us. He's the God of the breakthrough. Amen. Well, that's about all I've got to say this morning. But it's enough, isn't it? Are you going to praise God? Are you going to actually actively praise God? Now, you may be nervous and you may be a bit shy about that. Well, on your way home, if you're driving by yourself in the car, turn the radio off. And turn the cricket off and start praising God. Start actually out loud praising. When I first got this revelation of praise, I'll never forget it. I first started pastoring a church in Armidale. And it was, I won't go into all the details, but it was bad. It had a bad split. It was really bad. All sorts of problems. And just before I went to take over this church, God gave me this revelation of the power of praise. And when I got there, I started trying to get the people to praise God. And God says, John, you're not trying hard enough. Because I remember once asking God, if I'm going to make this church grow in Armidale, what do I do? How do I evangelize? And I felt the Lord say to me, forget about the evangelism for a while. Just get these people praising me. Just get the people. Because it's gone through a split. Terrible things had happened. The pastor had left under a cloud. He was a good man. But his heart was broken. And he asked if I would take the church over. And so the church was hurting. I came in, and the church, there would be about maybe 30 people in all. And they were hurting. And God said, get them praising me. Get them praising me. The spiritual forces at work here, dark spiritual forces that we need to break through. And I remember I went there by faith, believing I'd get a wage, and they couldn't afford a wage. This is back in 1980. They had a mortgage, and their mortgage was about $165 a week. That was their mortgage. Then they got all the other bills on top of that, phone bills and all that goes with it, the water bills, electricity and all that. And their offering was $200 a week. That was their offerings back then. And so there was nothing left for me. And I said to the board when I got there, and I'd said I'm prepared to take the church over, and the church voted me in. And then I met with the board afterwards on the Monday night, And they said, "We're really pleased that you're here, Pastor John. Well, I know things are going to go great." I said, "Yeah, and I really believe God's going to bless us. How much are you going to pay me?" And they looked at me, "What do you mean? Well, what wage are you going to pay me?" "Oh, we got no wage. We got nothing." And I said, "Come on." I said, "Do you feel I'm the right man?" "Yes," they said. And then I said, "Do you feel you need a full-time man here?" And they said to me, "Yeah, we do, because that's been one of our problems. Our pastor couldn't be full-time. He was working for telecom. We couldn't afford to pay him. So, but we know we need one, but we can't afford it." And I said, "Yes, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go for a walk. I'll be back in 20 minutes, and in 20 minutes' time, you're going to offer me a wage." They said, we can't, we've got nothing to offer. There's nothing there." I said, "You're going to offer me a wage in 20 minutes. I'm going. Because if I'm the right man, God told me very clearly that when I take over this church, it's going to be a full-time position, and you're going to pay me." So I went for a walk. In 20 minutes, I came back, and there they were. There were seven deacons, leaders, sitting around this table. And I sat down. I said, "Okay, what are you going to do?" They said, "Well, we've never done anything like this before. We can't afford anything, but we've decided to pay you $150 a week." That was in 1980, which was pretty pathetic back then, but it was better than nothing. And I says, "Great, thank you." I said, "I'm full time on $150 a week." So I went and told my wife the bad news, because I was putting kids through uni and school, and The first week, the offerings never moved. They stayed the same. The second week, the offerings never went up. The third week, the offerings never went up. The fourth week, the offerings were the same. And we came to the fifth week, and before the fifth week, the devil was saying to me, "You're taking this church into bankruptcy. You're going to bankrupt this church. You shouldn't have come. You're the wrong man for the job." All the devil was saying all these things. So on the Monday morning, I went into my little office. I had an office that was so tiny. I mean, little tiny office. I'm in there, and I'm listening to the devil telling me all these, "You should not be here. You're taking this church into bankruptcy." And I came out of my office, I stood in the church, I stood in about where I'm now, the pulpit was there, and I went like this. Banged my feet in, I looked up in the sky, I said, "God, I thank you that I'm here because it's your will, your plan, your purpose. And devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You're a liar and a thief and a cheat. This church is going to prosper." And I started to praise God. And I started to praise God out loud. "Glory to your name." Nobody there. I didn't praise like this. "Oh, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise." I started to shout, "Praise you." And then I started to walk up and down. "Praise you, Lord. Glory to your name. You are the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. You're the beginning and the end." And I shouted with all of my... And while I was shouting praise, it felt like my words were hitting the ceiling and bouncing back at me. Do you know what I mean? I felt embarrassed. Come on. I felt, who's listening to me? I felt embarrassed. But I thought, "No, devil, you're a liar." So I started to shout even louder. Glad there was nobody there. But I shouted really loud the praises of God. The next Sunday, the offerings doubled. And the Sunday after that, they doubled. They went up and up and up and up. Within a year, we had 400 people in the church and was planning to build a new extension. That's because we can break through in praise, and when we do, we break through the circumstances. Have you got a hold of that? I finished. This is a long finish. I know it's a long finish. I have to leave, but I finish now. What I'm saying is the truth. God wants you to be like the eagle. He wants you to be strong, and He gives you the strength. We are like the Christmas trees with parasites. We get our strength from God. I don't get my strength from myself. I don't get it from you. You don't get your strength from me. We get it from God through His Word. You might get it through a preacher who's preaching like me under an anointing, but it's not me, it's God's Word. I'm speaking God's Word today. And when we break through in praise, something phenomenal happens. Now just close your eyes and bow your head. Just close your eyes. I just want to challenge you to come to a place where you are going to praise Him no matter what. And not just in your mind, but you're going to actually speak out the praises of God. And you will continue praising Him no matter what. No matter what the circumstances. No matter what the disappointments. No matter what the lies, the devil, or this world is saying to you. You're going to continue to praise the Lord your God. Maybe God's challenged you this morning. And you think, because you've heard this before. This is nothing new. I've not preached a new sermon today. But I'm reminding you of what perhaps you already know, but you've let go of. Stop it. Stop it. Take it back again. Hold on to it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me. Bless His holy name. Praise His holy name. Don't forget all the good things that God has done for you, soul. Don't forget He heals all your sicknesses. He forgives all your sins. He renews your strength like the eagles. You'll fly. If God has spoken to you, I want to say a prayer for you. If you know that you should come to a place where you're praising God, and you want to do that, but you've let the world squeeze you into its mold a little bit. Stop it. Come on. Stop praising God for all that you're worth. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you will develop a lifestyle of praise. We call it an attitude of gratitude to God. You will develop that. You will do it. Even if you're shy. Even if you feel that, you know, it's silly, it doesn't matter. You'll do it. Because you know God wants to hear your praise and the expression of your love to Him. He wants to hear that. I know that we can show our love to God by what we do. I understand that. And we must do good deeds. And that shows our love and appreciation. But hey, come on. We can get very personal with God, with our lips, and really praise Him. And really express our love and gratitude. If you would like me to pray for you, just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed. If you want me to pray for you, just raise your hand so I can see it. God bless you. Thank 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 you. God bless you. Anybody else? Yes. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Quite most of you. Thank you. Okay, Father, for each person here, as they sit in your presence right now, they know that they've heard your word. They know that they've heard you speaking to them right through this service, Lord. And I pray that you will give them such a liberty in praise that they've never had before. I pray, Lord, that praise will come from deep down within their soul. And it will fill their whole being. And they will open their mouths and praise you for all that they are worth. I pray that tomorrow morning when they open their eyes, first thing they will do is thank you and praise you for the goodness that you give and the goodness that you are. Lord, bless this church. Let it become a powerful, praising church. I ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, as they break through in praise, I pray that the circumstances will break around them that wants to hem them in. There's people here with sickness. Touch their bodies, Lord. Bring healing to their bodies. Take pain and discomfort away in Jesus' name. Those who have marriage difficulties, Father, and are struggling, bring about a miracle. A miracle that only you can bring. Fill their heart with warmth and with love. For people here, Lord, that are lonely, that are actually lonely people. At work, they're so lonely. At home, they're lonely. I pray that they too will feel your loving arms around and about them and feel that, Lord, they're not lonely because you're with them. You're very real in their lives. Bless them and use them for your glory. Whatever it is that people are facing today, give them the victory through Jesus. And may we praise you before the victory comes, as the victory comes, and continue to praise you for all of our lives. Lord, we ask this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, but they didn't say it loud enough. I'm going to say, what have I just prayed? What on earth have I prayed? Lord, what was the point in that? Tell me, Lord, what you told me to do. What was the point? When you say amen, you say amen. Say it as if you mean it. If you said something to me and I went, oh, amen. You think, what's wrong with him? Well, that's what I think about. Come on. Say amen. Amen. Say praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Some of you have said that so loud, you've not said it that loud for a long time. But you're not embarrassed, are you? I can see by your faces you're smiling. Come on. Praise brings joy and peace with it. Amen. I better shut up or I'll stop preaching again. God bless you all. Thanks for having me.